1 Kings chapter 16, verse 1 is where we begin today's study. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha, or Baasha. The word of the Lord came to Jehu. Jehu was a prophet from down south in Judah. And he has a word from God. And it is a word from God to be delivered to the king of the north, Baasha. Verse 2. I lifted you up from the dust and made you leader of my people Israel. But you walked in the ways of Jeroboam and caused my people Israel to sin and to provoke me to anger by their sins. God is provoked to anger when people sin. It is not a light thing to him. And God gave Baasha an opportunity to be king. God replaced Jeroboam's family because they were no account impenitent sinners, but now Baasha is acting the same way. Verse 3. So I'm about to consume Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. He acted like Jeroboam and his family, and he will be punished like Jeroboam and his family. God does not play favorites with any impenitent sinner, no matter who they are. 4. Dogs will eat those belonging to Baasha who die in the city, and the birds of the air will feed on those who die in the country. Not even a proper burial for Baasha's family. God will not allow them to be honored in death, since they had dishonored God in their life. Notice verses 5 and 6. It says, as for the other events of Baasha's reign, what he did and his achievements, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tisra. And Elah, his son, succeeded him as king. Baasha got a normal funeral, I guess. His descendants were the one God was speaking of when he said the dogs would eat their remains or the birds would pluck at them. No decent burial. Verse 7. Moreover, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani, to Baasha and his house because of all the evil he had done in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger by the things he did, and becoming like the house of Jeroboam, and also because he destroyed it. The biggest reason Baasha and family will not reign over the north anymore is their sin of idolatry. That's the biggest sin. Second, they will be shown no mercy by God because they showed no mercy to the house of Jeroboam. And really, they were no better than Jeroboam and family. Verse 8. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, son of Baasha, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Tisra 2 years. Like father, like son. Elah and Baasha were both evil. God would not judge a righteous person for the sin of his father. God doesn't operate that way. Elah will get what's coming to him. And it will not be good, because he wasn't any better than his father. Verse 9. Zimri, one of his officials who had command of half his chariots, plotted against him. Elah was in Tirzah at the time, getting drunk in the home of Arza, the man in charge of the palace of Tirzah. Now, what a king this guy was, huh? What a leader. Elah was a drunk. The Bible says that strong drink is not for kings. They need to be on top of things, spiritually and mentally, if they're going to rule well. Verse 10. Zimri came in and struck him down and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. Then he succeeded him as king. King Elah is killed by Zimri, who actually was a descendant of Israel's first king, Saul. Maybe Zimri thought that he could regain the throne for the family of Saul. I don't know. I don't know if that was his motive or he just wanted to be the king. Anyway, he is the king, for now anyway. Verse 11, as soon as he began to reign and was seated on the throne, he killed off Baasha's whole family. He did not spare a single male, whether relative or friend. Baasha killed the entire family of Jeroboam in order to be king, and now he and his family experienced the same horrible end. The Bible says we reap what we sow. We have to be careful how we treat others and how we act, because we do reap what we sow in the end. Verse 12. So Zimri destroyed the whole family of Baasha in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken against Baasha through the prophet Jehu. And God knew this would happen. It all happened in accordance with the word of God. God knew it would happen before it happened. God knew it because He knows everything about everything. God knows everything about everything in the past, everything about everything that's going on right now, and He knows everything about everything that will ever happen in the future at any time. Nothing catches God off guard. 13. Because of all the sins Baasha and his son Elah had committed and had caused Israel to commit, so that they provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their worthless idols. God is angry about all those golden calves which are being worshipped and called God in the north. When His creation worships a different so-called God, the Lord God gets jealous. He gets angry, and He has a right to. Verse 14. Not all jealousy, by the way, is sin. Verse 14. As for the other events of Elah's reign and all he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned in Tirzah 7 days. The army was encamped near Gibbethon, a Philistine town. A 7-day reign for Zimri. 7 days. Well, if he thought that he would restore the royal dynasty of Saul, he must have forgotten that God told Saul that he and his family were finished as far as royalty is concerned. Verse 16. When the Israelites in the camp heard that Zimri had plotted against the king and murdered him, they proclaimed Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel, that very day there in the camp. Omri was the commander of the army of former king Elah. That army did not accept Zimri as king, so they proclaimed Omri to be the king. Is this messed up or not? Talk about confusion. 17. Then Omri and all the Israelites with him withdrew from Gibbethon and laid siege to Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the royal palace and set the palace on fire around him, so he died. Zimri knew that his days were numbered. He knew that Omri, the commander of the northern army, would kill him for sure. And so he committed suicide. But what a way to kill yourself! You go into your house, you go into the palace, you set it on fire, and you burn yourself to death. Sin certainly does affect a person's mind as well as their soul. 19. Because of the sins he committed, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord and walking in the ways of Jeroboam, and in the sin he had committed and had caused Israel to commit, as for the other events of Zimri's reign and the rebellion he carried out, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? The rest of the acts of Zimri were not much to talk about. I mean, his claim to fame was murder in a failed, pathetic 7-day attempt to be king. I guess the big lesson from his life is this: another life wasted because of sin. Verse 21. Then the people of Israel were split into two factions. Half supported Timnai, son of Ganath, for king. The other half supported Omri. And now there's a civil war within the civil war, as the army in the north is split between two leaders. Confusion reigns because no one knows who will be king. Confusion reigns, let's face it, because they have rejected God. 22. But Omri's followers proved stronger than those of Timnai, son of Ginnath. So Timnai died and Omri became king. Now the power struggle actually took about 4 years. There's 4 years between verses 21 and 22. And then Omri made, he became the sole possessor of the throne. Verse 23. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king of Israel, and he reigned 12 years, six of them in Tirzah. So while all that insanity that we've been reading about here in this chapter was taking place in the north because of their rebellion against God, Asa, a godly man, ruled in the south with stability. See the difference? Life is much more pleasant and much more stable and normal. There is a normal. And life is much more normal when people worship God and let God drive. 24. He bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built a city on the hill, calling it Samaria, after Shemer, the name of the former owner of the hill. Remember Elah? Remember, he committed suicide by burning down the palace? Well, Omri established a new capital. He built this one on a hill, I suppose for greater security. It says in verse 25, but Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. And that's saying an awful lot. None of the kings who ever reigned in the north were any good. They didn't have one single good king. Omri, like the others, promoted calf worship and did not allow the people to go down to Jerusalem to worship God. So the country is slipping further and further down into a spiritual abyss. And it's reflected in their standard of living and in the chaos in the country and in the government. 26. He walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and in his sin, which he caused Israel to commit, so that they provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their worthless idols. Actually, Omri was worse than Jeroboam. Jeroboam introduced golden calves as representations of Almighty God. Omri ditched God all the way. He didn't even think about him as being representing the one true God. He simply worshipped the idols. See, it's slipping further and further away from God. And that's often the way it works. Sin is very often a degree thing. It gets worse as time goes by. If it's not brought under control and repented of, it gets worse in an individual's life and also in society. 27. As for the other events of Omri's reign, what he did and the things he achieved, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab his son succeeded him as king. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel. And he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. With Omri, the calf worship was going full blast in the north. And now he dies, and his son, Ahab, takes over. And he's only going to make matters worse. Verse 30. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. And so Ahab was the most sinful ruler up to this point. And then to make matters worse, he married the most wicked woman around, Jezebel. And so Ahab and wife went beyond evil. They went beyond just mere idol worship. And they started worshiping the detestable god, as God describes him, Baal. Verse 32. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. The two golden calves, at least in the beginning, that Jeroboam made, were a twisted representation of God. Now the worship of Baal, which was blatant, in-your-face God, worship of another God, now that takes center stage in the religious life of the north. 33. Ahab also made an Asherah pole. It did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. Ahab seems to be drawing a line in the sand with his evil and just daring God to cross it. The man has no spiritual life and no regard at all for God. 34. In Ahab's time, Hiel of Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations at the cost of his firstborn son, Abiram, and he set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, in accordance with the word of the Lord spoken by Joshua, son of Nun. I don't know if you remember this or not. If you think back to the book of Joshua, when Joshua and company saw God crumble the walls of Jericho, God said that anyone who tried to rebuild that city would pay with the death of his two sons. In other words, and this is why God said this, I think, anyone who would try to undo the evidence of God's power and his hatred of sin by rebuilding those walls, anybody who would try to undo the evidence of God's power would pay. Well, Hiel had no regard for God's word. He did not believe the word of God. He did not take it seriously. So he rebuilt the walls and he lost his two sons, just as God warned. And don't blame God. He warned. And I wonder how many more times God has to prove that he demands obedience before people will take him seriously. Next time. Chapter 17. Until next time. So long, everyone.